Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's 5/29. 2020 is the year. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You see that little temperature gun aimed right at the in between your eyes and the forehead is like trying to mark you, or trying to read your mark to make sure that's the mark of the beast. And in their hands, okay, and this is Revelation 20. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath the part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's getting to be very, very interesting. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And that is the key. That is the key to you getting further down the road and to survive what is going to come. Because I tell you, those that don't take the mark of the beast and don't worship the beast, those that are repentant of their sins to Lord Jesus and have asked him to come into their heart to be their Savior, they shall have everlasting life with him in heaven. That's his promise. So as we begin our summer here, just about, we're still in the spring, then I will tell you this. We have burning cities. will have burning cities. And I'm going to tell you what, it's already started because the spark was created. And I'm going to tell you this too. I'm going to tell you this as well. And I will say this, that this deal in Minneapolis, as I said last night, that there was something more to this case, and it was almost as if like Chauvin, who's been arrested today, it was almost like he had to kill Floyd. And now that we see the other shot from behind the police car, we not only see the Muay Thai man, Tobao, but we see the other guy laying on his back, while Chauvin has got the knee on the neck. So now you've got a third guy there, at least. Sometimes it looks like it's all of them, but I don't think it is. And I don't think it's Leung. I think it's the other guy. But apparently there's some stuff being said that, or somehow they know somehow that somebody checked the guy's pulse. And then also said, don't you think you ought to let up? There hadn't been any pulse and no response for, you know, quite a while. And then for another 2 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever, Chauvin digs right in with that left knee. And I think that he was on the carotid artery, which is a blood choke and will shut off blood to the brain. You shut off blood to the brain, then you have a situation where it starts to turn off other parts of the body. But you see, if you also are leaning on it such, and maybe you knee dropped him when you're out of sight somehow or another, maybe you've also got a portion of the windpipe, and you got a wind choke going on too. Everybody wants to debate, well, you couldn't speak if you were choking. Well, you kind of can, but I'm going to tell you there's more to it. The other guy who's got a knee or laying on the legs in the back, he's making sure to push down the diaphragm so you can't breathe. But when you still got some breath in your mouth initially and you're gasping and maybe you got enough strength or lung capacity from being an athlete, maybe you got a little bit left to beg for your life and to beg him to let you go, and then at the last moment for him to cry out for his mother. But I'm going to tell you, as I looked at this whole thing the last few days, I said, there's something else to this. When I saw the picture of Chauvin, his evil face, and I looked up and there's a little bit, there's just one little iota of, it's a lot of evil, but there's one little bit, like he's saying, almost like he's desperate and he has to do it. It's like he had to kill that man no matter what. Well, how does that work? Well, today, this morning, and some of you I sent this to, and I've gotten some good feedback on it, but Zero Hedge had an article about him, Floyd, George Floyd, and then Chauvin working for the same nightclub, Latin-type nightclub, allegedly called the Conga Line. Now, I don't know, but and I don't have the exact facts. This is my opinion. Opinion and alleged opinions, you see. That's what I'm trying to tell you about, allegedly. But this smelled to me like it was some kind of a thing that was a street deal or something to deal with dirty cops and maybe somebody from a nightclub, and maybe in a nightclub that's called the conga line. Maybe people do lines in the conga line, you see, lines of something. Rooty toot snoots and that kind of stuff. But maybe also, maybe they got a lot of people like to pass them $20 bills in them dark nightclubs, you know, or hundreds, but they quit doing that. So they just pass 20s, 10s, that kind of stuff. Now, I've seen one of those because as a clerk years ago in a convenience grocery, which had weird yellow summer lights because the door was always open in a town. The door was always open, so we had the yellow lights to try to keep the bugs out because the front door was always open. One air conditioner would just blow in the door, you know, air and fans. But I took one by mistake one time because the yellow light screwed with what the color looked like. It looked good, but then when I saw it, later on the next day, we looked at it and said, hey, man, that's a counterfeit. Somehow or another, I took a counterfeit in the register. And then I tried to think about who did it, and I couldn't figure exactly out who it was or anything like that because it was a busy night. But quite frankly, then those started showing up all over town in nightclubs. One of the nightclubs had took in about 200 or 300 of them, you know, a large number of them. They must have been buying a lot of drinks. But you see, that kind of thing in a big city, and like a lot of people in Minneapolis, you know, I'm told by a, let's just call it deep background peace officer sources. Well, I'll just give you the quote. This is a good quote here. Let's just see. Let's see what we got. He says, this is going to be about dope and money. This is from a peace officer, all right? Very knowledgeable, good peace officer as well, by the way. And then goes on to say, lots of cocaine and heroin goes through Minneapolis. He said, I'm guessing Floyd shorted or stole payments. And the cop was collecting the debts. I think that's a pretty highly possible thing. I also think that it's possible that if there was this possibility, I've heard it's a $20 check, but then I've also heard that it could be a $20 bill, a counterfeit bill or something. So I'm not all real sure about all of that. But it seems still to me, regardless whatever the exact facts are in this thing, or whether he had knowledge of a dirty cop crew that were protecting, let's say, somebody that was the drug dealers involved. And even if Floyd wasn't directly involved, maybe he knew that this crew, this Chauvin and his buddies there, that they might be the bag man or somebody higher up to take the money up the line, okay? But it's like somebody up above Chauvin is either having him collect the debt or they're trying to preclude this guy who now is fired, okay, from telling on Chauvin and this guy's and the drug dealers that went down, which then could lead to the next people up the chain. Now in Hennepin County, I wonder who's next up the chain. You know, could be, some people say, well, it could be the police captain. I don't know that. Could be the maybe the sheriff. I don't know that. Because it's a city cop. It's not a deputy. It could be that it could be a prosecuting type person. Because just like L.A. had the wise men for many years, still likely does. One of the wise men was the DA. Back in the day, allegedly. So, all I can tell you is this. There's more to this. I think it got hit the nail on the head. They're even talking about alluding to it, even on Fox. But everybody's afraid to say something different. But regardless, nevertheless, Chauvin killed this guy. I think it is at least a second-degree murder. Because he did know what he was doing, going to kill him. Particularly when the other guy is laying on his legs and not letting him move, and then pushing down on the diaphragm and the belly, pushing the air out of his belly and diaphragm so he can't breathe. And then with Chauvin doing the blood choke, and quite probably the wind choke as well. The wind choke's your windpipe. The blood choke will put somebody out quicker. Like as Bo Greitz used to tell me, he used to do the wind choke, but he got to where he preferred to do the blood choke because he could actually put a sentry out quicker with that, quiet him down completely, and then while they were out like a light, then, you know, use the knife or whatever he had to use. So, that way didn't make any noise. So anyway, all I can tell you is there's more to this, but that ain't going to come out. And that's why the FBI is, you know, going to get involved, but they're going to slow walk any of that aspect of it. The other three police officers should be, if it was you or I, we would all be charged. The one laying on the guy's legs should be charged also. He should be maybe charged with second degree, or maybe he's the one that gets third degree or manslaughter, while Chauvin gets a second. But then Bao, watching in the Leung, wherever he's at, they should be at least accessories to the murder. So they all should be charged. But I don't know exactly what's going on with who's doing what. They are flying Reaper drones up above up there. All kind of no such planes and helos went up into there. And they're telling me that they can't look down and get all the faces of the people looting and, you know, tooting and scooting and doing the arson. They've got a lot of them. But it does hurt a little bit because a lot of them are wearing the COFAB mask, you know, the COVID-19 mask, which I'm not saying there's anything against that because I'm sure wearing mine because I don't want to catch it at this late stage of the game. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what, this is perfectly, you remember what Dimitri Dudeman talked about, how in the midst of, you know, a revolution or a communist started revolution in the United States. We talked about this in the past years. I've said this with respect to the Russians. It could go just as easily with the Russians and the Chinese. But he used to say that in the midst of the Civil War that was started by the communists in America, okay, that at that point there would come and there would be attacks on major cities and major things with nuclear weapons. Now with these new type hypersonics, which the Russians and the Chinese already possess, U.S. has got them too, but not really the one they quite want. And the real technology, the stuff they do want, is up in the other level of technology. And that's, you know, 30, 32, 33 levels above top secret. Consequently, I'm saying this, is that you'll find somebody just sent me something here. Let me see this. exactly 24 hours ahead, prototype Starship rocket rips apart massive explosion day ahead of planned launch. Oh, wow, wow, wow. In a horribly spectacular failure with added bad timing of coming almost exactly 24 hours ahead of SpaceX and NASA's rescheduled attempt to make history by launching two astronauts into Earth's orbit as part of work on the Commercial Crew program at 3:22 Eastern Time, Saturday weather permitting. The Raptor engine in SpaceX Starship SN4 prototype blew up on its test stand in Boca Chica, Texas. Boca Chica, Texas. Now, my buddy there, you might want to look up for me Boca Chica and see if we had any interesting things in space or offshore that might have been doing something with that. SpaceX has just experienced the biggest explosion yet at its Texas site, where it's testing prototypes for a Mars rocket. A resident who lived nearby, just 2 miles away, said it felt like an earthquake. Doesn't appear that anybody was hurt in the community from the blast, but it happened at 1:49 Central Time and set off a flurry of commentary over the safety of tomorrow's launch to carry humans in space. Did somebody activate the Chinese chips somehow or another and make them blow off, you see? I don't know. That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? All right. Be a very, very good question to find out. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got Columbus, Ohio. We got Phoenix, Washington, D.C., New York City, L.A., Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I don't know what's going on. When I left it, they were getting ready to, they had announced the arrest of Chauvin, and they had some discussion about all of that with the Hennepin County District Attorney, who Amy Klobuchar used to be that, and then she had the case when she was in, had the case allegedly, a Chauvin come up before her, and they didn't prosecute him on a deal. So now that's interesting. I just wonder where the chain goes up in terms of the bag money and all of that, or the cut of the alleged activities of Hennepin County. Governors usually have their own thing with regard to prisons. Usually. And so they don't always get involved so much in terms of the cities. But then again, they could. Now, I thought the best answer to anything was the Adjutant General. They said, well, how come you didn't go in and stop? He said, because I'm not authorized to take the National Guard of my own volition into a city and to do anything without the city requesting. So now then, let's go back to the whole bigger picture. The picture that's evolved since the death or the murder of George Floyd. So the fact is that I was watching at 5 a.m. this morning at 4:45, 5 a.m. and I watched as, oh boy, there comes the state patrol, the highway patrol of Minnesota in riot gear, and he comes, they're starting to come on up, and there was the CNN guy, the reporter, who I'd seen, and I'd flipped over to CNN to see if they had more coverage of bigger, larger area coverage and had stuff that wasn't last night but was currently what was going on there today, and they did. They had the white guy and his crew down in front of Precinct 3, burned out, and abandoned, had to retreat from Precinct 3, the police did, because the city, the government, would not give them the go-ahead to fight back. In the old days, they used to call a shotgun a riot gun. And you could load it with bird shot, or you could load it with number four or double odd buck. And if you pop three or four people in the front of the crowd tends to go bye-bye. That's the way it used to be done in the old days. And I'm not a real big fan of killing people or anything like that, but that's the way you solve a riot. But that was not allowed to do, so the cops had to turn tail and run, and some of them had to be rescued off the roof allegedly by a helicopter. Well, that's a retreat. Well, they had firearms. They could have defended themselves, you know. But it seemed as though that's all part of the scenario. So then they then makes the call to maybe they need the National Guard. But that's late at night, you see. And all the people who didn't want it, then they really had to play games with it. But let me go back to the reporters. So then you've got Omar Jimenez. Omar is a black and Hispanic reporter for CNN. And he had a crew, the camera crew and everything, and a security guy with him. And they were there just kind of waiting because they had heard the say everybody get out of the road. And they were standing on a street corner, and as the state troopers came up in the riot gear, they said, I'm with CNN. Here's my credentials. This is my crew. Tell us where to go, and we'll move out of your way and get out of your way. Well, then they didn't answer him. He says, let us know where you want to go. We'll be glad to get out of your way or to help you any way we can. You know, we're press, you're CNN, et cetera. So then they grabbed his arms. I saw him, both police, state troopers, reach for his elbow and reach for the arms. And then they said, you're under arrest. He said, what am I under arrest for? They never answered him. He had to drop his mic, and then they put the zip ties on him. Put the old zip ties, all right? And then they got the crowd or the crew, and the camera was still rolling. And then they arrested them, all that. So I watched all that live, and then pretty quickly CNN headquarters cut to the white reporter, and they said, can you see Omar? Well, he's been arrested. What do you mean? And they're looking down there. He said, yeah, I can kind of see. It was like a quarter mile down the road or whatever, a block. And so then they decided, and they had a whole scenario with backup real quick, like backup, you know, pundits in the background. And they had them all come in there and talk about how it was racist, which apparently I think it could have been a put-up job with the ultra-liberal democratic city government and state government. Because then it worked in very quickly into Trump is at fault for his racist tweet, you see. Dog whistles, and then this cop killed this man on behalf of Trump, you see. And all of this horse hockey. And I thought to myself, man, whoever Soros allegedly or some of his gang or the Rothschilds or some of his gang, their gang or, you know, Pelosi, you know, Schumer, Rumor, you know, all those, whoever it might be. Or the Joker Todd and Valerie Jerry, you know, or whoever. But as I looked at this overall, I said that could be possibly what it was. So then you have a state senator immediately on air already with the CNN HQ headquarters people. And he's dialing for dollars with the with the governor right away. And they reach the governor and all that, and they ask him the question. The governor pretends apparently like he doesn't know and blah, 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 blah. And then CNN Zucker gets in the call with the lawyers, and they call the governor and call this one and that one, and they're fighting for Omar and everything. Meanwhile, Omar Jimenez and his crew, they're still zip-tied in the van at the police headquarters or wherever they took them. And consequently, then they had a whole opportunity to go on through the whole nine yards of at least 6, 8, 10 different guests talking about how racist Trump did the dog whistle and with the tweet, he poured gasoline on the fire and the cop killed him. Well, the cop killed him Monday, you see. It's like, but oh, that doesn't make any difference, you know. And then that caused the arrest of Omar. And it could be an actual racist deal. That could be a possibility. Because then they had the white CNN reporter say, well, I was treated very cordially. And they said, you know, please just get over here, get out of our way, and blah, 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 blah. But it allowed a large number of people watching that. And then, of course, MSNBC and other things like that, where you have about 8 or 9 of the things are all anti-Trump. And it worked into a whole narrative. Now, President Trump did the best he could, and he did talk with the Floyd family and all of that. And he tried to do the right thing early on and acknowledge that this was a really bad tape, you know, very early. But there's more to this story somewhere in there, and I think there's more to it, because right on cue is as if Antifa and all of the union bosses, and after today in the afternoon, I was just watching out of the corner of my eye the police lineup where they were like state troopers, and the city cops are nowhere to be found in that area. But the state troopers were there with riot gear, standing in a line, holding their batons with two hands. And I watched the people going up to them and trying to challenge them and all of that. I saw this one older white guy, and he was pretty tough looking, but he had kind of a nice, you know, like little jacket thing on, and a gray haired guy. And then I watched the way he did it and all the stuff, and I was kind of listening to it, and you could see the side of his face, and he was getting real close up into the face of the guys. I said, man, this is a labor. This is a labor guy. This is a labor thug. Big labor, okay? And then a young black man comes up, and he's getting into the deal and wanting to take the picture. Then I see the older white guy tap him on the back and kind of push him forward a little closer to take a picture of the guy right in the face of the trooper, okay? I said, well, that guy is running that whole line. Then he walked on down the line, and I saw somebody else come from around and came back in the line. So this is evidence to me, in my opinion of hired help from the big labor squads, commie squads, the Antifas, and all of the different stuff. And, you know, what was it in 2017? They were paying them, or 2016, they were paying them $19 an hour plus overtime. And as I recall, they even had health care. So then, right on cue, D.C., Phoenix, L.A., you know, everywhere under the sun. Then in Louisville, they shoot a girl on a young woman, you know, in her home, a young black woman, on some kind of a warrant deal. I don't know about that, but that all tied right in, too, you see. And then Columbus, Ohio, they busted out windows in the state capitol. Like Ohio OHP ain't got enough people to push back a line of people. But you see, that's a Republican governor, but it's also the Republican governor crew that prior to that never Trumps. All right. So consequently, you've got a whole lot of stuff going on here in a big picture, and I'm going to tell you who the author of it all. The author is Lucifer. He's the original big-time liar. And what does he enjoy? He enjoys total chaos. Ordo ab chao. They're going to set the order in out of the chaos. And if they can blame it on Mr. Trump, you see, and also do all of this stuff to destroy any kind of a hope for a reentry, because, you know, now you're going to see in all of these cities, I'll bet your bottom dollar, there's going to be a COVID-19 outbreak. So let's expand up from that as well, all right? Let's expand further out from that. And it's real interesting that now we got another aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, okay? The Gerald Ford, apparently some of the naval aviators on the carrier have tested positive for the COVID-19, but they're already out to sea. Apparently, it's either possible they got it prior to coming on board at a Liberty kind of a thing, or somebody in the Red Chinese crew has got somebody that brings it aboard our ships, and maybe they say, oh, you just put a little lime in the coconut, you know, a little couple drops in this tray and on that tray and this one and that one and some kind of a way of doing it, you know. Or you give them a nice drink straw loaded with it or whatever. And sooner or later, you're going to see a lot of people get it. So now, I guess the Gerald Ford is yet another carrier that's going to be out of service now. Plus all the carrier group, and they've got to come back to the barn in Norfolk and clean the entire ship down. Clean the entire ship down, and they're going to have to test everybody, okay? Well, it'd be real nice to have more than one or two carriers able to operate, wouldn't it? In this upcoming scenario with the Chinese and the Ruskies, the Russians have got their their Poseidon drone, which is a like a underwater deal that can sit off at the bottom of the ocean. And then all of a sudden on command or on a timer or on perhaps an AI command, maybe it just does it itself after reading the tea leaves of whatever ocean you got it in, it explodes and creates a giant tsunami, okay? A huge 50 megaton kind of a thing, you know? And blows the heck out of a coastline somewhere, you see. Well, do they have those off the California coast? I don't know. Do they have them in the Gulf Coast? Remember when the Russian subs? A few years ago, we didn't even know the Russian sub was down there. It had been down there for 6 weeks. It surfaced and took off. They said, ooh, where'd that come from? And then you remember a few years back, you know, not the recent flap that we've described to you here as best we could, and that the good high-quality deep background SIGINT people have been checking on, you know, to make sure that that information of those weird anomalies gets out and about so somebody knows about it, and all of the people are just too busy with their high-tech stuff and their debates on whether the Chinese could even, I don't even think they could shoot a missile out of their submarine and blah, blah, blah. And if they did, they'd have to surface and bop, bop, bop. And they're not that advanced, so you just think they're that. No, yes, they are. No, they're not. That kind of a scenario. Meanwhile, all that's going on, and they're asymmetrically nailing us. That is an asymmetrical hit. Died of an asymmetrical hit on another aircraft carrier. It's asymmetrical. It's not, you know, D-Day. It's asymmetrical. So you take out a carrier group and its entire capability. Then how many is this now? Four or five that are out of sorts. It just is real interesting. Well, you know, I'll tell you. When you turn off somebody's carotid artery, If you have existing health problems, that will exacerbate it. Yes, because it cuts the blood flow up to the brain, which then shuts down all the other systems. So, yes, that is an interesting idea, but not necessarily the true specifics of the deal. But all I can tell you is they were precluding breathing as well as blood choke and a wind choke. Partial wind choke. And this just ain't right, you see. But there's more to it, I guarantee you. And a lot of people are agreeing with that aspect of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep Old Hawk on the air, and I hope you do. Keep Old Hawk in the game, fighting against the Lucys. You can reach Old Hawk, HAWK 3965, West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965, West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what. If you need silver or gold, or if you would like to get the information that you may need dealing with the catastrophes that are getting ready to happen on this planet, you go to stevequayle.com. stevequayle.com, or you can call them at 406-586-4840. You'll either get Daryl or his son Tyler, or you'll get Steve himself, or possibly somebody else. But if you get them, you tell them Old Hawk sent you. And if you need gold or silver, Steve has got it on hand to get it to you quickly. But Steve would also tell you, if you do not have your regular preps first, your water purification, your food, your firearms and ammunition, your NBC gear, or C-Burn for all of the new lovies, you see, if you don't have that and your medical supplies, then you should do that first. But you can also get the DVDs of the most recent video conference that was streamed about the catastrophes, all of the different guests. Go to stevequayle.com. Click on that. You can order that too. But you can also get the books, and you can get the books because someday we may not have any of these computers. And there may not be an internet. You go with the power grid down, you're not going to have it very easily, are you? Huh? So you might want to get some of the different books that Brother Quayle has. He's got some good specials on them. And take advantage of that. Put them in a library, or put them in a library for your children, so that they have the information you've been blessed to have, you see, and to be a part of. Because if you are out on the line standing for the Lord Jesus, you might lose your life on this world and then pass on to heaven if you're saved by the Lord. But your children might need to know the information you have, and you may not have talked to them about it enough. So I'm telling you, get them to show them the books. The Giants books, the Aliens, Fallen Angels, you know, Empire Beneath the Ice, Terminated, The End of Man is Near. I mean, you know, Weather Wars, Xenogenesis, all the different books Brother Quayle has had and put out. Premise of the Promise, you know, Jesus, Premise of the Promise. But take advantage of it while you can. And incidentally, you need to continue to methodically prepare from lists of food items. Just don't get all one thing. You know, you've got to have, I always tell you, chunky soup, Progresso soups, that's very good. If you can get any of the freeze-dried foods, and there are a number of different vendors for that, wise, new manna, you know, emergency essentials, all the different resources, Nitro Pack, a jillion different people. Get it whatever you can. You can also get them sometimes in the smaller pouches or the little bigger pouches, but not the big cases. You might be able to get a few cans from Cabela's or from Bass Pro or from Shields or from a number of different places, Academy or whoever it might be, Gander, you know. And get as much of that as you can. And go to Holly Dale's, you know, like Dare to Prepare, or, you know, go up there or go to their site, standale.com, look for Holly's section. And the pre-material that Holly had up there on that section was the pre-material prior to her books being put out, Dare to Prepare, which there's been a number of different editions over the years, giving more information, chock full of all kind of information and what to do and where to go. I also like No Such Thing as Doomsday, How to Prepare for Natural Disasters, Terrorism, War, and Other Threats. And while you're at it, I would suggest that you look for Dr. Cass Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M-S, Life-Saving Cures from Knowledge House, if you can still find it. I would also tell you to look for Bioterrorism, How to Survive the 25 Most Dangerous Biological Weapons, by Pamela Weintraub. Pamela Weintraub, with a foreword by Dr. Paul Riga, MD, Medical Program Director, the Center for Terrorism Preparedness. And this book was Citadel Press, Kensington Publishing, KensingtonBooks.com. May still be available. The original date on this was 2002. If you want to know about the coming Civil War and all of this kind of things, then I've often told you, Civil War II, if you can get a hold of it yet, the coming breakup of America, Thomas W. Chittum, C-H-I-T-T-U-M. Tom was in the Army, Vietnam in 65 and 66, was a rifleman in the Rhodesian Territorials in the 70s, and a rifleman in the Croatian Army in 91 and 92. Computer programmer, and basically the last time I knew, he was a writer and lived in rural New Jersey. But in there, I've told you a lot of things that show you the different stages and steps of the basically the different steps to Civil War II. The first food riots in cities as government attempts to shut off welfare. The cities and suburbs will begin to divide into ethnic enclaves with walls, gates, and guards. Riots will menace the Congress and the White House in Washington, D.C. Well, we're already getting that, you see. We're getting it in more bigger groups, you see. Multiple-day tribal riots with barricades and sieges of police stations will become common. That's the third phase, the guerrilla warfare phase. Let me read that again. Multiple-day tribal riots with barricades and sieges of police stations will become common. We just had that, didn't we? And then when you read the fourth turning, you see, William Strauss and Neil Howe, and you start to read about the fourth turning and all this stuff, this is the big thing. This is the big crisis. Prepare the defense. Expect the worst. Prepare to mobilize, but don't pre-commit to any response. Society is unraveling at this time, you see. And they quote Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, to every time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8, I guess that what that is. That's out of being quoted in the fourth turning. So we're due for this thing, and it's about ready to happen. It's going to last a while, all right? And then what Lord Jesus has told us in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, this is all coming down the pike. If you're not saved, then repent of your sins to Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart and to be your Savior. And he'll give you everlasting, you know, life with him in heaven. Matthew 25 is the preparations where he tells you to prepare with a parable. I don't know what's going on right now or where we're at on any of the riots. I'm not watching the television, but I'll tell you what. I do know that the Red Chinese are working us with the asymmetrical. The Russians are also working us. Very interesting little thing we've got now with Modi from India. We've got a little bit of a build-up in terms of trust with them. So the Chinese are working against India, and they got Pakistan there to work against India as well. India has a fine military. They have nuclear weapons. They have space assets. They have a pretty decent navy, too. But consequently, you've got that, then that's going to draw it in. And I remember years ago, 16 years ago in May, Brother Steve Quayle had me on. He says, Hawk, you know, you've talked to me about all these different scenarios you see happening, coming with the Gog Magog war and all of that, and how this will lead to that and how we'll end up. And he and I went down the list. We went into all of the different flashpoints that are now flashpoints, including Venezuela, by the way. And talking about how all of this would expand into world war. And then at some point in time, you have the peacemaker comes, you see. You have the peacemaker comes, and then you get the Antichrist overlaid, the little G, you know, by Lucy, you know, possesses him. And then you've got, you know, 3.5 years, great tribulation. Great tribulation. And I don't know if we've started it yet, or if we're just prior to it, or if we're in the initial phase. But oh boy, when it hits, I've read you Matthew 24 so many times, Luke 21 so many times. Read them again. Read them to your children. Tell them what you need to know. Because a whole lot of people are counting on this upcoming election. It's going to be wonderful and all that. And I would hope that it would be. But you're not going to be able to count on that, because they are going to try to steal every vote they can get, regardless. If it starts to look going bad for Sleepy Joe, you see. Oh, well then, Twitter Bird and Facebook and all of them will just go together, and maybe Google can, you know, beam it in your mind to vote for Sleepy Joe this time, you know? Oh, Red Chinese, excuse me. That's just my opinion. It's a viewpoint. It's not a fact, you see. It's an opinion. Which you got the right to have. I remember Chuck Harder saying that years ago for the People Network. You remember Chuck? He had over 650 stations till they knocked him out of the box and took it away from him on a trickery deal. But, man, I used to listen to those guys all the time. Used to listen shortwave, and they used to be on AM radios, all kind of different thing. Used to listen to old Jerry Hughes a lot, and to Chuck, and to all the different ones. But, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to go into their Luciferian night without a fight. And if you live in a state where you can conceal carry, then I suggest you do so. Some states like, Missouri or Kansas, you can conceal carry without a permit. Other states, you need a permit. Other states, and a lot of states, you can carry open carry. If you feel like doing open carry and that's fine, then you should do that. But never be too far away from your weapon or, NBC gear. All right? Because you never know what's going to happen. It's in the trunk of the car. You got something ready there, and you take it out every night, take it into a better, thing so it doesn't get abused in heat or cold and what have you. But you'd better be ready. And if you cannot do anything else but just get one extra can of food a week, whatever it is, starting to see, junky and all the different stuff going away. I will tell you this, too. The prices on all food is going sky high. And I've seen ground chuck in northwest New York for $7.99 a pound, I've seen a lot of it over $5.50, $5.99, $6.49 all over the place. Stock and selection seems to be different on meats. Not all over the United States is gone, but a lot of places it is. And then I noted that the Kroger guy met with President Trump today. I note that a lot of these people, Walmart, all of them, might be supplying food to government. So don't go into their Luciferian knife without a fight. Stand for Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Mighty men and women of honor, use your high-tech weapons. Strike blows against the Luciferians. You know who they are. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready. And old Mickey LaPua, Mickey, get ready to squeeze that trigger. And to my old buddies, Rico and Nico, Lord Jesus loves you, guys. Get in trouble, you say, help me.